Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. That's right, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. This one slipped through the cracks, 106 shows. I haven't covered it. I gotta cover it. Dads, I'm sorry, it's Father's Day. Maybe this isn't the most appropriate show. I'll make it up to you. Snoring. Why snoring? Because I had five people in this week. None of them sleep at night. All of them sit there half the night and listen to their significant other snore in the bed. That's got to stop. Apnea, CPAPs. We've got a whole new industry here. We're always looking for new industries, are we not? Cosmetic dermatology. We just shine those lasers on your warts and brown spots and they disappear. Another one that we've dug up is CPAPs. Get to the website. I've got pictures of the CPAPs. Tough to sleep with those things. Lots of people have to. Or what? They torture themselves all night because the snoring is so bad that it would wake up anybody. So what you do when your snoring hits a certain level of issue is you're waking up all night long and that interrupts your REM sleep. You never feel like you really got your sleep. This can start when you're a baby. This can start when you're really young. And you can have it for years undiagnosed. So over the last few years, we're making this big thing over snoring and apnea. Not everyone that snores has apnea, but just about everyone with apnea snores. So how do you know who you are? Well, that's kind of difficult. But if you snore all night and your significant other, the one that pays the price even more than you, says, gee, you know, I watch you sometimes, honey, when you sleep, and you kind of wake up, but not really, and then you go back to sleep, and you might do this 20 times in an hour or so. Even less, but nonetheless, those interruptions are intense, then that's you, and that's a lot of us. If you don't have apnea, meaning you don't almost wake up, snoring is still an issue, especially for the person listening to it. So what I wanted to do is go into the dynamic of this, because you're hearing a lot of solutions from cutting out the uvula, which is when you open your mouth, and I've got pictures of the uvula on the website, picture number 5. If you're hopefully listening on the web, get to the website, straighttalk.cc, go into the literature section, and look at the pictures as I talk. If you can't, I'll just describe it so you can see it also in your mind. We're cutting out the uvulas. That's when you open your mouth and you look down the throat, that little ding-dong that's hanging right towards the back of the throat. It's called the uvula. Sometimes we cut out the uvula. We take out tonsils. We look for polyps. There's a whole bunch of tissues down the throat that we believe to interfere with the flow of air through the nose or through the mouth. And whether the air is going through the nose or through the mouth, it's going to hit the same place as it goes down towards the lungs. That's what you got to understand. And if you look at the first and second picture, they're side views, or what we call sagittal cuts. Again, this is on the website, straighttalk.cc. Just get to the radio literature section. Just follow the prompts for today's pictures for today's show. Because in picture 1 and 2, and again, once you put your cursor on those pictures, you can blow the picture up just by clicking it. So picture number 1 you can blow up. Picture number 2, just put your cursor on it, click the left button on your computer screen, on your computer, and the picture will blow up. The first two pictures are side views of the oropharynx. Oro meaning oral cavity. Pharynx meaning that area just behind your Adam's apple. So if you open your mouth, the air goes down, and it hits your Adam's apple. That area, from the minute the air goes in, whether it's through the mouth or through the nose, right behind your Adam's apple, that's the oropharynx. And I've got two great pictures you can blow up to see that. So let's look at this area called the oropharynx, because rather than give you all the tributaries from snoring to choking on food to what CPAPs do to neck pain to all the problems that occur when the oropharynx shifts position. Rather than give you all the tributaries of that, I want you to understand snoring, apnea, sleep disturbances from a more fundamental view. Meaning we can talk about some of the topical causes of snoring, or we can understand snoring as a more fundamental issue. And that fundamental issue is as you age for different reasons. And this is not because of aging. But as you age for different reasons, which are 100% preventable, this is what you're not being told, the oropharynx begins to change its position, its shape. So first I want you to see the oropharynx, and then I want you to understand that the oropharynx, that passageway from the nose and mouth down through the throat into the lung or into the stomach, whether you're following the pharynx or the esophagus, whether you're following the esophagus or the bronchioles. Once something's in your mouth, on its way down, it's going to end up, as you know, it's going to end up in the lungs or it's going to end up in the stomach, depending upon where you send it. So snoring begins when that region changes its position. And what do we mean by a change in position? It means, and you can see this on the pictures, your head is changing position. If we look at you at 20 years old from the side, the head is directly on top of the neck, and the head, right down to the middle of your shoulder blades, is kind of a straight line. And as you age, the head comes forward. And as you age, the head comes forward. Over the years, you start to develop what we call anterior head carriage. So that your head may be fully a full 5, 6, 7, 10, 2 inches, 3 inches forward from what it was 40 years earlier. And those gradual shifts change that space. End of show. There it is. If you get that, you got everything. What we're calling snoring, largely, not always, there are exceptions and I'll get into them, but the predominant snoring scenario, the one where you didn't snore and then all of a sudden you did, begins because that head over the decades is coming forward and forward and forward and forward. So if you take a look, hopefully you can, at the sagittal cuts, picture 1 and 2, I want you to follow a piece of food. You're chewing your food and you swallow. And as you swallow, your tongue takes the food down and that food's going to go into your esophagus. From your esophagus, it's going to go into your stomach. Now that esophagus, right in front of that esophagus is the trachea. So when you put your finger on the Adam's apple, that Adam's apple is in a position, it's part of a tubular structure, a cartilage-created tubular structure that's attached to the esophagus. It's both the tube of what we call the pharynx, the trachea, into the bronchioles, follows the esophagus, which is a flat hose. So the pharynx into the trachea, that's where the air goes. The esophagus, which is a very elastic tube, is tied to it. The two run together. And you're seeing that if you're looking at the pictures. If not, you have to imagine that. So you're chewing your food and the food's going down. And at a certain point, you have to cut off the area of the trachea, so the food goes down the esophagus and doesn't go down the trachea. When you choke on food, the process, the mechanism through which we cut off the hole to the trachea, that mechanism somehow goes defunct in that moment. And instead of the food being thrown down the esophagus into the stomach, the food goes down the trachea, and that's when you start choking and coughing, etc. Again, this is so easily viewed if you can look at those pictures, so I hope you can get to the site. If you can't, still use your imagination. You can get this. Food goes down the throat. It should just get guided into the esophagus, down into your stomach. But to do that, something called the epiglottis. It's a little flap. It's a little flap called the epiglottis. Has to cover the opening to the trachea. And if it covers it, the food has to get down the esophagus. If that epiglottis doesn't close, if it gets stuck, if something happens to it, then that food sneaks down, or that liquid sneaks down the trachea, and you start to choke. Your body is sending you a cough reflex to get that food or liquid out of that place it doesn't belong. That space where the epiglottis and the trachea and the esophagus all intersect, that space will become compromised over the years as the head comes forward. If you're looking at somebody at the side, and you can see this clearly from the pictures, if you look at picture number 12 and picture number 13 on the site, picture number 12 is a young woman just sitting in a chair, and you can see that neck is long, it's elegant, and it's straight. She's a young woman, so she hasn't begun to suffer from what the other woman sitting on the next frame, again, that's frame number 13 now, you can blow that up. You can see real clearly the woman on frame 13, she's sitting there, and for those of you not on the computer, her head is coming way forward. She's a relatively young woman, but as she sits there, that neck is forward. That's how most of us sit at the desk. That's how most of us start to become over the years. And that anterior head carriage is going to change that place where the esophagus and the trachea meet in the oropharynx. That's a very big deal when it comes to snoring. Because what's snoring? Snoring is when air comes in through the nose or air comes in through the mouth. Either way, air comes in through the nose, air comes in through the mouth, and somewhere on the way, that air meets resistance. So snoring is the air during inhalation as you sleep, and that air is buttressing itself up against something, and it's making air noise. And that's what snoring is. And the reason that snoring is so different for so many people, in other words, people belt out different tunes when they snore. People make a variety of noises. And that variety is based upon the fact that that air will meet different types of obstacles. So if someone's got a deviated septum, they've broken their nose. Their nose is crooked. The air through the nose isn't going to go smooth. The air is going to meet that resistance. If someone's got a nasal polyp, that air is going to meet resistance. And as it meets resistance, you'll hear the noise. Not a lot of people, relatively speaking. If you take all the people that snore, all the people that have sleep apnea, and you look at the number of them that are suffering because they have nasal polyps, because they have deviated septums, broken noses, some other structural growth. The uvula, which is that little ding-a-ling I've got pictured there. That uvula maybe is too big for a small oropharynx. Of all the people that suffer from snoring or sleep apnea, the great minority of them have problems like that. The great majority of people who snore simply because somehow that space through the nostrils and then down the oropharynx becomes compromised over time. And we're going to get into why that happens. Why does the neck, over a period of years, come forward and forward and forward? What can we do about it? How can we reverse it? How do we prevent it? And all those things are right there. And, of course, I don't want to harp on it, but mind you, the ever-present medical industry, and I mean that across the board, holistically and allopathically, is always looking for new markets. Now, we can say it's in the interest of helping people, and I'm sure much of it is, because if you've got no solution to sleep apnea and you've never known what a good night's sleep is, then those CPAPs are a blessing. But again, as I'll continually argue on this show, there's another side that we're not being told. Again, a CPAP is kind of a quick fix, but sometimes you need a quick fix. I've pictured on the site all these different pictures of people with different types of CPAPs on. It's awkward. Lots of people can't use them. Some people have to use them. So let's not knock it, but there's another side to this. Why don't we get into what it actually takes to prevent the anterior head carriage that comes from, well, what we'll explain in a moment. So nasal polyps will do this. Got to remove those polyps or get to the cause. That's not the intention of this show. Deviated septums. If the septum's deviated and you can't get breath through the nose for a multitude of reasons, get that breath through the nose. Mouth breathing is not the best thing. Here's a problem with mouth breathing at night. You dry out your mouth. When you dry out your mouth, you don't use that libation of saliva. The flow of saliva all over the teeth and the gums is a disinfectant liquid. Saliva is antibacterial. Saliva, in that saliva is alkaline, generally, I mean, we certainly hope it's alkaline, but generally it is a great neutralizer of the acids that the bacteria are producing in the teeth. So you can brush your teeth, yeah, but one of the real drivers of dental health is that as you sleep at night in a normal, healthy sleep where you're not snoring, you're not mouth breathing, is that you're going to have that saliva marinate the teeth and the gums all night long, critical to health. Little thing they don't tell you. Just because so many people sleep with their mouth open at night doesn't mean it's normal. Lots of people can be abnormal. So don't be fooled by that. Your tooth decay is dependent upon the copious flow of an alkaline saliva because it neutralizes those acids. Now, mucus. Mucus because you eat at night. Mucus because you don't digest well. Mucus in the back of the oropharynx. Mucus that you cough up in the morning for 25 minutes. Mucus that hardens. The mucus that hardens in a post-nasal drip. The mucus that hardens simply because there's so much inflammatory reflux from the food you're eating because it's not being digested well. That mucus in excess simply coats the oropharynx. It coats the oropharynx. It drips back down the stomach. It creates that breath thing. It creates that nausea. It creates vomiting sometimes. It creates all sorts of things we don't want to talk about. But what it creates more than anything is a minimization of that space we call the oropharynx. It sets up a globule for the air that's going through the nose or the mouth to find much resistance to. And of course, I'm going to take a moment to comment on what functionally is a big deal. And that is that the significant other, is up all night listening to the snoring, except that they get used to it, so they sleep, but they don't sleep. If you, I caution you, I oblige you, I beseech you. If you are sleeping at night next to someone that's snoring, give yourself an experiment for a week, just 1 week. Do one of three things. Go out and buy those foam earplugs. Just do that. I can't imagine why people don't jump at this, but for some reason they don't. I don't know what it is. I don't think you realize what it's like to lose a good night's sleep. So I want to use part of the show to remind you, if you're the victim of one of these people that snores all night long, you've got to do something about it because it's robbing you of sleep. And that sleep is so critical for your health. Just hit the website for the other shows on sleep. You know sleep is so important. Simple solution. Simple solution. It's not going to bother anybody. Go out and get the foam earplugs. Learn to use them. Stick them deep down your ear canal, just like the directions say. And I'll guarantee you, unless you find extreme discomfort with these inexpensive foam earplugs, you're not going to hear your partner snore anymore at night. That will change your life. It's a little thing, but it's massive. If you find the earplugs too big, there is a company. Lots of the drugstores sell them. Pretty in pink. It's feminine earplugs. And all it means is the earplugs have a smaller diameter for the feminine ear. So if you've got a smaller ear canal, use smaller earplugs. Not the plastic ones. Not those ones that are like silly putty. They don't work. But the foam earplugs, and lots of companies make them, please go out and get a pair. And then get on the website, into the comment section, and just say, Dr. Medici, I'm using these earplugs, and it's made a big difference. I want to hear back from you how you use and implement these suggestions. So, took a little detour. Go out and do that. If you can't, if you absolutely can't use the earplug, I can't imagine why, but if you absolutely can't, I've had cases where people can't. If you can't for 1 week, just do yourself a huge favor. Go sleep in another room. Don't want to break up your marriage. Don't want to cause too much problem. Just want to suggest to you that it may truly, truly enlighten you to sleep a straight sleep without being awakened by somebody snoring. Not an optimal solution. But don't be afraid just to give it a little experiment. Go into another room. Find one and do it that way. Or have your partner be kind enough to do that. Figure out just for a week what it takes, whatever it takes. Now, let me add to that. If your significant other is eating late at night, they're going to snore. One quick solution to the snoring problem is don't eat the late meal. Or don't eat the late meal that causes what? An inflammatory response. If you play with food, I assure you, you will see a big difference between the food that creates the mucus and the food that doesn't. So if you're going to go out at 10 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock at night, if you work late, you get home at 9, you want to be social, so you go out with your loved ones and you stuff down a pepperoni pizza and either a beer or a glass of wine or some Coca-Cola or whatever you do, because it's Friday and you're just going to do that. You go to your local favorite Mexican restaurant, and it's the cheese and it's the meat and it's the taco, the corn, the rest of it. Whatever you're going to do, I promise you, if you eat those kinds of meals at night, you're going to make mucus. Cue yourself into that one. Check in on that one. If you don't want to snore that night, don't eat that kind of meal. Digestive enzymes are not going to fix this problem. They may help it. They're not going to fix it. Again, that mucus in response to the inflammatory process that partial incomplete digestion causes is going on all over your body. Make no mistake about it. It's going on in your hands and your feet. It's going on in your liver and your kidneys. You just feel it in your throat. So if you can augment that, at least Monday through Friday, when you can't sleep late, when you've got to get your sleep, augment it so you don't snore that night because you didn't eat that late meal. Or the meal you did does not produce mucus. That's huge. So there's a solution that may not mean a husband and a wife sleeping in separate rooms. And earplugs are certainly a solution that can work tremendously. The pillow. Quick, easy one. You don't hear it enough, and you don't hear it enough, I think, because it's an inexpensive, simple solution. If that neck is kinked at night, if the angles that the neck has to hold against the pillow are compromised, again, that oropharynx area that I hope you're looking at is compromised. It's minimized. It's compressed. Once that space is compressed, you're going to snore. That epiglottis is going to flutter. The uvula is going to get crushed, relatively speaking, and it's going to flutter a little more. The biggest problem, in snoring is going to take some education for you to understand, but we've been on this subject before. The biggest issue, by far, the number one issue driving the snoring, which is to say the number one issue driving the anterior head carriage, the head coming forward over a period of years and shutting down that space, is the shortening and tightening of muscles of the neck called the scalenes. I put a picture of the scalenes. Now, we've mentioned the scalenes before. We've mentioned the scalenes before on a lot of other levels. On the basis of TMJ, the scalenes play a role. But this is what I continually try to point out that I hope you're getting on this show. And that is that you have to master the human body and its problems on the basis of fundamentals. And the word fundamental, I hope it's taken on after 107 shows, a whole new meaning for you. The Book of Fundamentals is a 20-volume set that stands stacked about 200 feet high. The fundamentals are not your four basic food groups and exercising. It is not simple stuff. It is stuff that demands the highest compartments of your mind and soul and being. So as far as this show is concerned, when I say fundamentals, there are many fundamentals. The fundamental we're discussing here today is the ramifications of anterior head carriage. The ramifications of what happens on many levels when the head becomes to shift forward. And one of the ramifications is snoring. One of many. It's also neck pain. It's also compression of the vagus nerve and a diminishing of nerve flow to every organ in your body. There is no end to the problem of the head becoming forward. And we ought to really put this in our common sense meter. Look at that woman on picture 12 and compare it to picture 11, where you see over years somebody's skeleton just change shape, and ask yourself if there isn't something inherent in that. You don't have to know a thing about medicine, a thing about science, a thing about anything. But just look at that and ask yourself, isn't there something peculiar and defective and demented occurring there? And there certainly is, and it's quite avoidable. So that's the point. Fundamentals, on the level that I'm using the word, is what I want you to get here. the collapse, the compression of the oropharyngeal area due to anterior head carriage and its ramifications. Pat yourself on the back if that turns you on. As I consider it on the show today, it still turns me on. Because so much can be prevented. And if for nothing but aesthetics, this is important to you, then let it be. Because a 70, 80-year-old woman with a straight line in the neck like she had the day she was married, that's something to put as a goal. That's a goal. That's something to have. Now, how do you have it? Well, you've got to learn how to stretch that neck. And we've done other shows on that. The scalenes are something that has to get length. But again, shy of having you all congregate in a room and be instructed one-on-one, shy of that, take what I'm about to say deep into yourself, because you can get it. One of our recent shows, I asked everybody to stretch the jaw. To stretch the jaw to see if you could make a change in the alignment of the bite. And anytime we say the word stretch, we mean stretch to change alignment. See, this is the thing. You can go anywhere and learn to stretch. I see lots of people out there learning to stretch. They're going to yoga classes and Pilates classes, and they're learning stuff off YouTube and the rest of it. And I got to tell you, 95% of the time, the purpose, the meaning of the stretch is completely over their heads. And that's typical for America. Really, really, we put things out on the market before we even understand them. The purpose of the stretch is to shift alignment. The purpose of the stretch is to shift alignment. If you're not shifting alignment, then you haven't gotten it right. And of course, that's okay, because things take time. So this isn't a criticism. But if you don't know where you're supposed to go, you're never going to get there. You can punch a heavy bag all day, but if people don't fall down in the ring, then why punch a heavy bag? You can lift weights all year, but if your muscles don't get a little bigger and more toned, well, something's wrong. And it's the same thing with stretching. But we've really missed the point on stretching. Stretching works when your alignment shifts. If you can pull your jaw open and you can feel your teeth touch your teeth in a different position, in a more relaxed position, you've learned to stretch. Now, the scalene stretches. There were supposed to be stretches on the site. Somehow they didn't get up right after the show. I'll have them up there. So if you're looking at straighttalk.cc, if you're on the website, you're not going to see pictures that will be up in about an hour. But if you go into Google, so maybe we should use this to our advantage. If you go onto Google, and everybody knows Google, and you go up to the top where it says images, and again, if this is sophomoric for you, please understand I would say about, in my estimation, at least half the population over the age of 50 doesn't know anything about computers. It's amazing, but it's true. And I can well empathize with those of you who are not computer friendly. And I hear it back from you all the time about how you go to the website and you try to navigate. You have no idea the pains we've suffered here to make things very simple. But still, they're not. And I empathize. Because the language or the vernacular of computers is driven by people who are unfortunately not particularly interested in having the common person understand how to navigate. And that is the truth. And I'll say that on this show. Because I think it's ridiculous some of the ways these software programs are written. But my point to you is, at least on this site, learn it. And what I want you to see and understand is how to stretch the scalenes. And so if you don't have the computer, just follow along where what you're going to do, if you're sitting, better yet if you're standing, is simply stand and take your right hand and put it on the left side of your head. Take your right hand and put it on the left side of the head. And then simply twist your head to the right. So take your left hand. Take your left hand and put it on the right side of your head. And simply twist your head to the left. Take your right hand. Take your left hand, put it on the right side of your head, and twist your head to the left, and keep twisting it until you can feel it pull on that right side of your neck. Then flex, laterally flex. So tilt your head to that same left side as you twist it to that left side, and then as you cock it back a little bit. Again, you take your left hand, you put it on the right side of the top of your head, and you tilt your head to the left. Then you take your head and you tilt it. You tilt it to the left. Then you twist it to the left. Then you pull it back a little bit. So it's lateral flexion to the left, twisting to the left, and cocking your head back a little bit. And you can navigate that with your left hand on top of your head. And then with your other hand, you can put it on that chin and sort of support the motion of the stretch. So you can jockey your head. You can manipulate your head by touching your face with both of your hands. And then you can push and pull and push and pull until you can feel a stretch in those muscles, the deep muscles on the side and front of the neck. Get this. I can't put you all in a room and do this, but I assure you, they're not doing this in yoga. They're barely doing this in Pilates. Your physical therapists don't thoroughly get this. And again, it has to be mastered until you can get a structural shift. I'm going to try that one more time, but the reverse side. You're going to take your right hand, you're going to put it over the top of your left head, and you're going to tilt your head to the right. Then you're going to turn your chin to the right. Then you're going to cock your head back. That right hand goes over the left side of the head. You laterally flex to the right, twist the head to the right, and cock your head back. Take your left hand, put it on your left chin, and kind of support that motion. Better if you do that standing. If you can master that and start to feel a stretch on the side of your neck and the front of your neck, the side of your neck, the front of your neck, and pull. And when it starts to burn a little bit, sustain that burn just a little bit. Don't force it. Don't make yourself crazy. Just do it. And then combine it with the jaw stretch where you open your mouth wide. Where you open your mouth wide and you pull those deep muscles of the jaw wide open. Now, between pulling the muscles of the jaw open, between stretching the side of the neck, and then adding one more stretch, you're going to start to shift the position of the oropharynx. And you're going to take your head from anterior head carriage back into the right line. And you can build on that. You can build on that to change the entire gravity line of the body. So picture 12 becomes picture 13 becomes picture 12 then. The anterior head carriage starts to realign itself to a more youthful posture. That's really the driver on stretching. That's why we stretch. We stretch to create the alignment shift. Without that, we're not getting it. It's good, but you're not getting the mark. Now, what does this mean in relationship to snoring? If you look at the place within the oropharynx that collapses, that place is directly correlated to the place that you're opening up when you do those stretches. They're the same thing. And this is what's being overlooked. This is what's not being said. What are we building CPAP machines for when all we have to do is realign the oropharyngeal area? Why are we cutting out uvulas when people simply need to know. This is the way you looked at 20. This is the way you look at 60. And that wasn't necessary. And again, this is my point, the general theme of the show. We complicate matters. We complicate matters tremendously simply because we miss fundamentals. Now, if this isn't science, well, let me show you something. There is an article on snoring that I've attached to the website. There's an article, and I took it out of Dentomaxillofacial Radiology, DMFR. It's a journal. Again, I'll sum it up for you if you don't and you're not on the computer, but here's the point. There's very little I say on any of these radio broadcasts that doesn't have a deep, literal connection to the kinds of journals that you've got to dig out, dig up. Please don't think that research constitutes these little Google scans we do on the internet. There's nothing to do with it. You have to go into journals. There is a journal in medicine, a journal in science for everything. That's the beauty of it. But if you're on the computer now, look at this article. Positional changes of oropharyngeal structures due to gravity in the upright and supine positions. Positional changes in the oropharyngeal structures due to gravity in the upright and supine positions. You've got five doctors or scientists. This is out of the Department of Oral and Maxillofacial Radiology, Division of Medical Intelligence and Informatics, Graduate School of Biomechanical Sciences at Hiroshima University, Japan. This is an article by five scientists out of Japan. It's hard science. And all they're doing is telling you that as the head comes forward, the oropharyngeal area is going to close. Only what they're saying is when you lie on your back at night in a supine position, you're going to naturally, according to them, naturally shut off the flow of air down the throat. You're going to compromise it. And they're saying when you stand up, that space opens up. And this is the whole point. There it is. It's in science. We're studying. You got to put two and two together. But what we're studying here in this article, from a respected journal, from a peer-reviewed article, that means anyone can have an opinion, and most of those opinions should limit themselves to table talk and talk over a beer in a bar. It's just gibberish. It's opinions, not founded. Purpose of science is to take an opinion and thicken it into an experiment, thicken it into something that had hard justification, and then throw it out there among your friends, all of whom want to prove that you're wrong. And that's the essence of a journal. A journal says, if you're going to get into my collection, you're going to pass through the criticisms of all the other people who want to do what you're doing, which is publish an article. And that's the whole point of a peer-reviewed journal. And we have hundreds of these things, hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds in science. So when you talk about research, when you talk about finding a connection between holistic medicine and what's out there in these peer-reviewed journals, you're talking about the future. And this is what I'm saying to you to understand. If you're measuring your reality as it relates to health, and people say they don't do it, I'm just going to tell you, you're doing it all the time. It's easy to be and listen to shows, but what I see happen very, very often, when the chips are down, all of a sudden, all this holistic medicine goes right out the window. Holistic medicine, you're supposed to take it to your doctor. You're supposed to arm yourself with the information. You're supposed to come out there and talk with love and patience, but you've got to make your point. And the point here in today's show is, rather than do a CPAP, Why don't we drop 40 or 50 pounds and change the position of the oropharynx? If you're not overweight and you don't need to drop 50 pounds because the fat in your throat basically blocks the air, if you're not overweight, if you're underweight and you still snore, why don't we understand that if the scalenes are tight, if they're short and tight, if they're contracted, it'll pull your head forward. And if your head's not forward and your scalenes are still tight because you're clenching your jaw at night, it'll still distort the oropharynx. This article is basically showing us that there are a multitude of functional mechanisms, defective, counterproductive functional mechanisms that the body lives with, that we take for granted, that are going to distort this oropharynx. And that is why you didn't snore when you were 20, but you sound like a whatever once you're 40 or 50 or 60. Now, we run to yoga classes, we run to Pilates classes. And the augmentation here, the upgrade here is, if you're exercising, which many of you do, begin to stretch the body in a way where you can shift the position of the head on the neck. Now, how do you know you did that? The same way, if you open your mouth, you start to feel a change in the spatial orientation. It's the same way if you stretch your neck, you start to feel a change in the spatial orientation. And if you haven't felt it, keep stretching, because you will. And when you do, it tells you you're doing and you're moving on the right path. And if you're not, then you got to go in there and you got to think more deeply and you got to come up with a better plan. It's not that complicated. Now, there's another stretch. Again, I apologize. It's not on the site right now. There's another stretch you've got to master. It's the yes stretch. You're going to take your head and you're going to nod. You're going to bring your chin right to your upper chest. So your chin is starting to meet your chest. Your chin drops on your chest. Now, when your chin drops on your chest, you're going to feel a little pull in the back of the neck. You're going to feel a little pull in the back of the neck. I want you to jockey your chin on your chest as you're flexing your head forward so your chin is on your chest. I want you to lift up your head so the stretch is in the highest part of your neck. Again, the chin is just touching the chest. And as it touches the chest, you'll feel that stretch in the back of your neck. And then I want you to jockey your head so the stretch goes to the highest part of your neck. If you can get that stretch to the highest part of your neck, you're opening up an ever, ever critical area of the neck that's going to allow your oropharynx to relax. You're opening up an ever critical part of the neck that's going to help that oropharynx just collapse and rest and assume a better space. If you're on the website and you get to show number, get to picture number 9, I've put the back of the head on picture number 9. Blow that picture up, and what you're looking at when you press on that picture, what you're looking at is all that white stuff on the back of the neck. You know what that white stuff is. All that white, gooey connective tissue on the back of your head. As you're nodding your chin onto your chest and lifting up the back of your neck to stretch what we call the occipital rim. It's that white line of connective tissue that goes from ear to ear. That white line of connective tissue, fascia, that we talk about almost on every show, that you stretch from ear to ear as you stretch the back of your head as your chin hits your chest. If you can finesse that stretch, you've topped it. You've done it. So the first part of how you stretch yourself out of snoring, the first part is to open the mouth and stretch the jaw. And we've gone through that. Our TMJ show we did a few weeks ago, we went into that in deep detail, showed pictures of it. I put two pictures of two different animals from the jungle. Well, one's from the jungle, a lion, and the other picture, that's a seal. It's a seal, like in the ocean, a seal. And if you look at those animals stretch, believe me, they're not going to get TMJ. Nor are they going to compress their vagus nerve. And if they snore, it's certainly not because they're not holding their original alignments. But the point is, if you can stretch the jaw like that, if you can stretch the scalenes, if you can arch back through the thoracic spine on those different sorts of health bridges or backbenders, if you can open up the muscles of the chest, the pectoralis muscles, and if you can widen then all that space in front of the body so that the shoulders simply roll back naturally, not in a superimposed position. Don't superimpose these stretches, meaning don't force a different posture. You never force a posture. You just evolve to the posture. But if you can do that sufficiently, you'll open up your oropharynx. That is a very, very, very big deal. But again, if you could do that, you'd solve 50 other problems. And again, that's sort of the point of the show, that what you're continually doing is looking for fundamental drivers of health that allow you to do what? Fix 50 things at once. And again, stretching the upper body to help snoring isn't going to work 100% of the time. But you know what it's going to do? It's going to work an enormous percentage of time. If what? If you do it to critical mass. Everything you do in holistic medicine has a critical mass. Critical mass. It's not like a surgery. It's not like taking a drug. When you take the drug, when you take an antibiotic for pneumonia or some sort of an infection, you don't have to participate. You just have to put the drug in your mouth. When you get a surgery, you just have to go to sleep and you wake up. You don't have to participate. But you have to participate in holistic medicine. Now, that means you have to inhabit the function. It doesn't mean you can go through the motions. Success in holistic medicine is like success in acting. In acting, you just can't read your lines. You can't read your lines and say you're acting. You have to read your lines to critical mass. Critical mass is how we measure the efficiency of what we're doing. How do you measure the efficiency of a gallbladder flush? Well, you know from listening to this show, you measure the efficiency of a gallbladder flush when you get bile. When you see it come out of your body, you measure the efficiency of a stretch when you get the body to shift its position. You measure the efficiency of a sleep, of augmenting your sleep pattern when you get a deeper sleep. There's always a better way to measure because it's a visceral way. You've got to feel the shift. So if you understand that and you take that biomechanical, shifting the alignment of the spine, you're going to reroute, reorient the way all the organs sit in the body. And that unfolding of everything from your oropharynx down into where your esophagus is, down to where your liver and gallbladder are, down to where your intestines live, through your pelvis, through your knees, through your feet. That begins to shift. Now I'm going to take you to the advanced level. Because the advanced level asks you to consider that the show we did on the feet is connected to the show we just did on snoring. So here's a solution for snoring. Fix your feet. You just listened to a radio show. You just spent some 1,000 of you just spent your time listening to this Saturday broadcast to have somebody say to you, if you want to fix your snoring, fix your feet. If you want to fix your feet, fix your TMJ. If you want to fix your snoring, fix your TMJ. If you want to fix your TMJ, fix your feet. If you want to fix all of that, clean your gallbladder. This is a web. A web. Healing is a web. Yeah, if you have nasal polyps, maybe you have to get them removed. If you have a deviated septum, you need to get it fixed. Maybe you were born with an abnormally small oropharynx, and there's just no two ways about it. You don't have much give. There can be reasons that an ENT, ear, nose, and throat guy, are going to tell you are so much the issue that you've got to do a surgery. And sometimes you do. But I will go on record on this day to tell you that a good 80%, lots, the vast majority, are eating late at night, weight gain, and most of everything is not understanding the functional dynamic of how to shift an oropharynx. But that oropharynx is in collusion. It's in relationship to everything else. So you have to look at healing not as a, what herb can I take? What surgery can I do? You have to look at the critical mass as being a composite of all these dynamic issues that you learn to address as you explore you. Exploring you is what holistic medicine is, and not exploring you is what gets you sick. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. If you're spinning in collusion with the negatives, you give us a call down here in Costa Mesa, 949-873-2127. 949-873-2127. If you're spinning and you can't figure yourself out, let's join hands and go on the journey together. I'll see you guys next week. Ciao.
Been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.